I'm joined today by Lisa Davies, and I thought we could just start by hearing a little bit about your own personal history and how you came to direct Danse à la carte and Transformation.
Okay. I am originally from Vancouver. I moved to Montreal 26 years ago, I joined Les Grands Ballets Canadiens the following year. So I danced with Les Grands Ballets for 10 years. The majority of my dance career was under the directorship of Larry Rhodes, who brought in a lot of, he took a lot of risks in the context of a traditional ballet company and brought in creators. He was the first one to bring in people like Ohad Naharin and William Forsythe and Edward Locke to work, and Jeanette Lorrain, to work and create within the context of a ballet company. And I had I felt very privileged, or maybe it's now in hindsight, I recognize the privilege that I had at just 18 years old, being surrounded by these really innovative creators, and a very innovative director who believed in bridging different parts of the community and not just boxing us in to one type of dance. And the impact that that had working with Ohad or Edward at such a young age stayed with me throughout my entire career as a dancer. And then I came back as a ballet master for Les Grands Ballets. I also went with ballet jazz for 1 year, and after that I felt like I wanted to explore outside the bubble of your traditional institution. And I started working with a former colleague of mine, Victor Quijada, at Rubber Band Dance Group, and I was the rehearsal director with him for about a year for the creation of Quotient Empirique. And it was via that process that I started to discover the larger dance community that exists that I was looking to connect with. And at the same time, I had started teaching open classes, and I suddenly found dancers from Marie Chouinard taking my classes, or from Esdanza, independent artists from Virginie Brunel, and and it was like an epiphany. I really loved connecting with these artists from outside this bubble that I had kind of existed in. I continue now to teach as a guest teacher for different organizations, if it's National Ballet, or I've taught for Akram Khan Company. I work with Christian Spuck from Ballet Zurich. I teach his work for different companies. And I also continue to direct this company, Danse à la carte, that I founded exactly 5 years ago. And 5 years and 2 months, So Danse à la carte was actually born from all of that. That exploration outside of the bubble, connecting with these artists, having such a deep respect for these artists who are working independently outside of the privilege that I had as a dancer, and wanting to contribute to support them in the way that I had support as a dancer that they don't necessarily have access to outside the financial cushion of living within that institution.
So like training support for...
Training support, all kind. Well, so Danse à la carte, the mission, the mandate of Danse à la carte is to support the professional, is to support professional dancers and choreographers in research of creation, development, and production. And so we do that through through those channels and through the different programs. So we have our professional development program, which is open classes throughout the year to provide that training in both ballet and contemporary, because for me, boxing into just one type of dance isn't
that's not what I needed as a dancer.
Right.
I needed versatility. I needed different tools.
Yeah.
So that's in the professional development program. Transformation is one of our activities. It's actually our flagship event.
Okay.
And so Transformation, it's a contemporary dance event that happens once a year in parallel with the FTA. Uh-huh. And there's multiple workshops and creation labs, final presentation. We try to add in like activities in parallel if it's picnics or, you know, jams or these types of things in parallel with that. Most importantly, the transformation, it's a moment to network and to really bridge people from different parts of the community. It's not just contemporary dancers that come.
Yeah.
It's also street dancers, danseurs urbaines, or ballet dancers, maybe not very many classical ones, but contemporary ballet dancers. And we also have our creation and research program, which provides residencies,
okay.
and Carte Blanche, which is a platform to share excerpts of their work, of our creation, of our artists in residency, and also some of our professional members. We've done it for the past 5 years at Rialto, and this next year we'll be moving.
So. And when is that during the year?
Usually it's in September.
That's great. That's very clear. One of my questions, which you sort of already answered, but I was curious when you were saying about all the different choreographers you worked with as a professional dancer, and did you feel prepared for that work? Where did the preparation for those different styles happen? Was it the responsibility of you as individual dancers?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Was it our responsibility? At Les Grands Ballets, you're not paid to take class. It's not part of your contract.
Yeah.
But you need to take class.
Yeah.
And I, as a dancer, had a very hard time getting my butt out of bed into class 5 days a week.
Yeah.
I had a really hard time. And so if I missed too many classes, my boss, Larry Rhodes, would talk to me.
Yeah, yeah. Irony.
Yeah. And I think at the time I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, now that I'm a teacher, many years later, it was actually a support to me because I never felt threatened. It was never like I wasn't in trouble for not taking class. But it's difficult to get yourself motivated every single day.
Yeah.
And so when I look back in hindsight, there was that encadrement. We don't have a great word in English for encadrement, but it's a support. It's a support system. It's a reminder to get you into class because the classes for me as a dancer were there to prepare you for your day.
Yeah.
But then also, how can you apply those tools to what you're working on?
Yeah.
In the case of Ohad, I think it's really interesting because when I first started to work with him...
Did he teach you guys Gaga?
He hadn't developed Gaga yet.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so I think we were on our third production with Ohad.
Yeah.
When suddenly he taught us a Gaga class.
Oh, wow.
And so...
Did that change things, did you find?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think now, you know, 25 years later, and after having worked with Victor Quijada, who's developed the rubber band method, Ohad, who's developed Gaga, and also myself as a teacher, I teach ballet, but I teach differently. I don't teach the Akram Khan company the same way as I teach in Zurich.
Okay.
They don't need the same thing.
So you're adapting your classes to what you see the dancers need
absolutely.
In the work?
Yeah, absolutely. I view classes as a tool.
Yeah.
Ballet is a tool.
Yeah.
It's a technique. I think sometimes we get lost in this philosophy of ballet and it becomes psychological and emotional instead of just looking at it as a tool.
Right.
And how can I use this tool to prepare me for what I need to do today?
Could you give me an example of how you would adapt your class to different companies?
It can be a deep question because I've had many different experiences. I've had experiences, I love exchange. I really approach classes in exchange.
Yeah.
So I'm feeding off of the dancers as I'm teaching.
Yeah.
And where I take, I come in with a prepared class in my head. And I have my checklist. We need to, you know, we need to warm up. We need to get on our leg. We need to get a little bit of cardio going on. And most importantly, I need to get us breathing and I need to get us moving. So I have my checklist and then I have my exercises that go along with my checklist. But then there might be an option A or B within my class that I develop.
Yeah.
And I've become so accustomed teaching my classes for Danse à la Carte with, I like all types of dancers. I started as a tap dancer. I never thought I'd be a ballet dancer. So I love working with all different types of artists. I love what everybody brings to my class.
Yeah.
And in these open classes in Montreal, I have a lot of contemporary dancers. And I love the exchange that happens. I love the thoughtfulness. They're not just forcing their bodies to do something. There's questioning that's going on sometimes. So I'm very careful not to let that stop the momentum of the class because we need to keep going. We need to keep our heart rate up. But I need to know where you are. So sometimes I might ask a question, you know, how are you? Are you warm enough right now? Would you prefer this or this?
Right.
And so I love that I can ask those questions here. In the context of more classical ballet companies, I cannot ask those questions.
You just have to lead.
Yeah, well, I have tried in the past, but it's not welcome.
Okay. Cultures change.
Most classical companies, they just want you to tell them what to do.
Right.
That's what you're there to do. So that's what you do. And you do it efficiently and quickly, boom, all the way you go through.
Right.
What else would change is that, at least in the context of a ballet class, is, can I put that? Geometrically, I guess, my class, if I'm teaching for Danse à la Carte, or if I'm teaching, I teach a lot for Ballet BC, and Ballet BC does a lot of contemporary works.
Yeah.
And so I can explore what's in between the A and the Z a little bit more. I can take us off of our center line in order to get us traveling and drop the weight down into the ground in order to do that, rather than in a more traditional, really classical context, everything has to stay perpendicular, straight up and down, and the weight is very, it's lifted and it's very high. So there's different ways that I can tweak my class depending on what they need, who I'm teaching for. Yeah.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
You talked about the mandate of Danse à la Carte and Transformation. I was curious about how you make programming decisions, like how you organize the week at Danse à la Carte, or what draws your attention when you want to invite teachers.
Okay, I guess maybe should I start with Transformation or should I start with our professional development program?
As you like. I mean, we're talking about the ecosystem of Montreal, I think, so maybe we could start with Danse à la Carte just to see.
Okay, so with in Danse à la Carte, what our open classes are a part of the professional development program of Danse à la Carte. So Danse à la Carte is the umbrella that presents these classes and also presents Transformation and the other things. So the professional development program, these are open classes to the professional dance community. We offer both ballet and contemporary throughout the year, usually in the form of drop-in classes, but also in the form of workshops.
Okay.
And how do I do my programming? So for the ballet programming, it's more consistent. But I think that's also because ballet itself, it's very difficult if you step out of it to step back into it.
Yeah.
So I try to offer consistency within that. As for the programming, I believe in versatility. I believe in diverse approaches to ballet.
Yeah.
And so it's important to me that the teachers, I have regular teachers and then I have guest teachers. It's very important to me that our regular teachers have experience both in ballet and contemporary dance.
Okay.
I need them to be able to truly have a deep comprehension of contemporary dance, of moving outside of those traditional balletic lines, while still staying true to a classical aesthetic, and who have experience behind that also. So that for my regular teachers is a priority.
And would the regular teachers like teach all the ballet classes for a week? Or when you talk about consistency, do you try and have all
For, in terms of consistency, I've tried many different recipes.
Yeah, I'm curious to hear about those.
And I have 5 years of like attendance statistics and things like that. Seeing these... seeing different trends happen. I don't keep a consistency in terms of having the same teacher teach the same day every single week for an entire session. I have tried that, or even doing for a full week. I've tried that also. I do notice that I listen to the community. I talk to the dancers all the time. And even when the dancers don't speak, they speak just by how many people are in class, how many people finish class, they respond. And I can also rely on my own judgment. Yeah. I know sometimes that not everybody doesn't finish class because they didn't connect with the class, but, you know, maybe they're struggling with an injury or whatever. There's a lot of different reasons. I have, though, regular teachers. How many do I have? We're probably about... I would say 3 or 4. And then I'll bring in guest teachers. When Wei Wong was here with L'Agora, and he's somebody that I danced with a very long time ago, and he ended up teaching a guest class for us, and I think we probably should have shut it down because there was too many people. There was 27 people.
Oh my God. That's awesome, but crowded, for sure.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I noticed in the beginning of when we first started offering these classes was that the dancers, the community in general, is very hesitant to take a class with a teacher they don't know. And so for me, one of the challenges as a programmer was how to bridge that gap. I think it's been to gain their trust, I hope. That's been the case. And I'm only this year starting to, after 4 years, see that the dancers are starting to be more ready to take a chance on a teacher that they don't know. Okay. Whereas in the past, this didn't happen. And that's, I think it's fantastic. I think it's important. Because every single teacher has something different to offer. They have a different vocabulary. Other things that are really a priority for me, though, is how the teachers approach their relationship with the dancers, not just in the classwork, but it has to be based in respect. Number one priority, and it's interesting. A lot of people refer to it as like, oh, the students, and that's something that even me as a teacher, I don't refer to my dancers as students. Yeah. They're dancers.
Yeah.
I look at them eye to eye. I don't put them... I don't know. For me, somehow, there's like a hierarchy attached to...
You're teaching to your peers.
That's the way... Yeah.
Yeah.
And I... Yeah, exactly. And as I said before, it's an exchange.
Right.
And if I'm... Yeah. It's not to say that students are below teachers, but it's just the way in which you approach teaching them can change.
Right. So the relational aspect of the class is important to you?
I really feel strongly that maybe that also comes from Larry Rhodes, is taking a chance and putting a person in a role, maybe sometimes before they're even ready for it, and they'll become. You give them space and they'll fill the space.
Yeah.
You raise the bar and they'll step over the bar. But if you keep it low, if you keep them contained, then... putting limitations on them before you've even given them a chance to...
Right. This whole profession is about learning and progressing.
Yes, so, yeah. Absolutely. So that's for our ballet classes. And for our contemporary classes and workshops, sometimes it's usually from word of mouth. I have people ask for classes.
Yeah.
And I've also, the last couple of years, started offering workshops with people that are kind of part of the family, I guess. So somebody like Manuel Roque, who has taught several times at Transformation in the last 5 years. And we brought him in. He started teaching the last two Januaries in a row. We started our year with Manu.
Oh, that's cool.
It's just a beautiful way to start the year. He has such a rich approach, mm-hmm. And he's so curious in regards to the art form, and he's very sensitive towards the needs of the dancers in the room. And yes,
do you find that there's do the ballet dancers come to contemporary classes, or do the contemporary dancers come to ballet classes?
We're slow. Absolutely. And I think that, well, this is actually part of it's not a part of our official mandate, but it is something that unique that I had hoped Danse La Cap would do, and that it is doing, and that's bridging the different parts of the community. And so I'm not interested in only supporting one type or one label.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I think that we need different tools.
Yeah.
And we end up seeing that with the different types of dancers, from street dancers to contemporary dancers to ballet dancers. I remember the first year I programmed Transformation, and I had Frédéric Ravel do Creation Lab, and I had Lauren Butchert, who was a classical dancer who had just come to Montreal from the Het National Ballet.
Yeah.
And she was in a Creation Lab with Frédéric Ravel. This is crazy. It's beautiful. And I think that it does have an impact on both artists, as choreographer and as a dancer.
Yes.
It expands your network.
Yeah.
I feel that we get stuck in our comfort zone and then start to look at distance ends up being created between the different aspects of the community.
Yes.
And I think that we need to come to... I feel that we are stronger together.
Yeah.
And it's just a way to help connect those artists.
Yeah.
That is actually also ends up being something that I take into consideration with our teachers for our ballet classes. That's why it's important to me that the teachers have experience in contemporary dance, because they need to be able to speak the same mm-hmm. language.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be able to speak the same language.
And just for people who might not know, like, what time are classes held and where are they held?
So all of our activities now take place in the Wilder.
Yeah.
It's been, I think, a process over the last 2 years. And so now everything, from Transformation to our Creation program to our morning to our professional development classes, all in the Wilder. Our ballet classes are in, usually in Studio 1 of Les Studios of Les Grands Ballets on the fourth floor. Transformation is between, we have a partnership with École de Danse Contemporaine de Montréal and with Les Grands Ballets. And so they take place in both. We're actually, Transformation is too big to fit into the Les Studios of Les Grands Ballets, but so we take one of the bigger studios of Les Grands Ballets.
Okay.
Yeah. And for the programming for Transformation, I send out, this is a lot of conversations with the dancers. I send out surveys to all of the participants every year, all of the dancers, to get their feedback. I meet with artistic advisors. So I put together an artistic advisory committee just to discuss, you know, for me, what's important within Transformation is that the entire spectrum of our contemporary dance community is nourished or touched in some form. So that I try to make sure that there is an offering for something that is more conceptual.
Yeah.
And then on the other end of that spectrum, something that is maybe more technical. We don't offer a lot of technique classes anymore at Transformation.
Okay.
It's actually just very difficult financially to keep technique classes running.
Yeah.
So it's mostly research and development workshops and creation labs. But I guess maybe I'm old school, so I still bring back the contemporary classes if I can sometimes. So like I have Amy Shulman this year, who doesn't love Amy? So she's, so she's coming back. I do speak with a lot of different people for Transformation to really try to touch the entire spectrum as much as is possible. Because I have how many? I have 13 each year. There's at least 13 different week-long workshops or labs. So it's like a festival.
Right? It is a festival.
And Transformation takes a lot more planning than the open classes do throughout the year.
I guess once it's rolling, open class can kind of feed into itself.
It can. I mean, it still needs care. Still definitely needs a lot of attention. But and it took us a while to find a system that works, because we don't have, for our professional development program, we don't have any funding from any of the arts councils or anything like that. So it's been very tricky to find a system that can work efficiently. So we're constantly tweaking it because dancers can't afford to otherwise we would have to charge $25 a class, and no professional dancers can afford that. But our ballet classes do now have the support of Emploi Québec. So that did make a massive difference in the consistency that we can offer. And we can also have a pianist now with that. And that makes a huge difference also when you have a pianist.
How do you find attendance? Like, do people come all week, or do you have a lot of like sporadic drop-ins?
Are there people who come every single day? Not very often.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of very dedicated people. And that's the difference also from, I understand that what we offer, it's a service, it's a support service.
Yeah.
I'm the director of an organisme de service et de soutien. I'm not the director of a company where I need you to be in class every single day.
Yeah.
But I do see the difference in the dancers in their work on stage, how often they train. Uh-huh. It's very clear.
Yeah.
It surprises me, I think. So, but like I said, it's such a challenge to find the motivation to get into class every day. So that's also something I hope Danse Acad and our teachers do, is help motivate people to be there and to be present. And then once they're there, the energy that they're sharing with each other, that also helps. But attendance this year has been, for our ballet classes, has been... it's beyond our records. It's great. I think our average for this month was 17 people a class.
That's
so
great.
Far. So I mean, I think that the regular average is somewhere around 13 to 14 people per class.
Yeah.
But I mean, it might range from 12 to 20. The last three classes I taught, we were 20.
Wow.
In the little studio.
Do you feel there's a community that's building out of these classes?
I think that there was already a community that existed, that these classes are meant to help provide a platform to support and to keep them connected to each other, and that this organization of Danse Acad has to continue to renew itself and to respond to the needs of what is pertinent right now, because things change very quickly.
Yeah, what do you notice in terms of changes, in terms of dancers' needs?
From when we started, I had La La La, Human Steps, and Au Vertigo were both still here. And a lot of those dancers were in our classes all the time. Because those were two choreographers with Edouard and Jeanette who supported their dancers' training. So the dancers were reimbursed for the training that they went to take. And Marie Chouinard Company also does that. And I think in some of those cases, there was even a minimum number of classes that they had to take per week. And so that was obvious that those dancers, you know, this was what they needed, and it was at this time. Is that changing? Yeah, I think that it does change, depending on which choreographers are working at the moment. There's a lot of change. This year, I think one of the things that I noticed that changed is Ballet West is a company that's starting to work a lot more. And so they have different creations. And so there's quite a few dancers from that company who are in our classes regularly. There's a larger number of independent artists right now than I've had in the past. And that that's where I think organizations like Danse Acad and Circuit Est and Studio 303 become essential, because when these guys are independent artists, they need those moments to be able to connect with each other outside of their own little bubble. And so these, and the classes of RQD also, they're essential for providing that moment.
I was just curious how you see the activities of Danse Acad fitting into the ecosystem of the Montreal dance community.
The ecosystem has been shifting Well, the ecosystem has been shifting for the last 26 years that I've been a part of the ecosystem in different forms.
Yeah.
And I think that we exist specifically as a response to a need within that ecosystem, and that was to bridge the different parts of the community. Again, like I said, coming out of this bubble as a artist, and then as a rehearsal director or teacher, choreographic assistant,
and the way you spoke about it, it almost seems like the choreography led this bridging between like street dance and contemporary dance and ballet. Like you were already dancing those pieces on stage with Le Grand Ballet Canadien before ballet dancers were necessarily working with hip-hop dancers in class or something.
Absolutely, yeah. But I this is the third time I'm referencing Larry Rhodes, but that was a product of his invention. Mm-hmm. I think that was my reality from day one as a part of that company.
Yeah.
It was sort of this... It's not that there was no respect of borders, but there were no borders.
Yeah.
There wasn't, you know, he brought in Marie Chouinard to teach us class. We were ballet dancers. He took those risks. I mean, Ohad Naharim 26 years ago, when he was, you know, to work with ballet dancers, how do you transfer that vocabulary efficiently? Mm-hmm. How do you get them to be vehicles for your choreographic vision when you don't speak the same language.
Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of improvisation with working with those choreographers?
No. Those two specifically, though, I think are two of the most intuitive and intelligent creators that I've worked with, in the sense that they were very quickly able to assess my toolbox and how to best let me utilize it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what was interesting for me, especially with Ohad, was that he empowered me as a woman, and working in a ballet company that's maybe not your traditional role.
Right.
And so that... For having that be one of my very first experiences dancing with the company was massive for who I became after that. Because his approach, he's not coming from the same background as everybody else in the room, but he's the one in charge and this is his playground right now. So, I think the empowerment, the freedom... the empowerment, the freedom, and the strength, using your strength, not being afraid to use your strength.
And freedom to interpret, or freedom to propose things, or
maybe to propose things in terms of the approach.
Absolutely.
The approach, and the approach. How do I go about this? How do I interpret this? In the case of Ohad, I still remember the words that he would use, like using visualizations to approach something, to give it a sensation, because I think that's something that ballet dancers... Everything is so visual. Everything is in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is two-dimensional. Suddenly I was working with somebody who was asking me to imagine what it's like to be a bear scratching his back on a tree.
Yeah.
And to connect with that sensation. So then it becomes authentic.
Yeah.
You are actually feeling that. You're not just copying or portraying a feeling.
Yeah.
You're embodying it instead.
Yeah. The movement from representation to a fully embodied state.
Body states I really love my job. I've got to explore so many interesting things through people like Catherine Godet and Caroline Gravel, talking about body states and Clara Fury, the conceptual approaches and Yeah, I think maybe it's my experiences in the beginning of Le Grand Ballet working with those other artists that still, that's what inspired me then, that's what inspires me now. It's kind of reaching outside of the box that I'm accustomed to.
Yeah.
Being okay with feeling uncomfortable sometimes.
Right. Yeah. How are we going to make something new?
Exactly.
We don't
exactly.
go somewhere new.
Yeah.
What are the changes in terms of teachers' proposals that you've witnessed over like the 5 years that you've been?
In terms of contemporary dance?
Yeah.
Changes in the proposal?
In the way like people plan their classes or the material that they get people to do?
I think a lot of it is driven by demand.
Okay.
What's being asked for from the dancers.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot more exploration, improvisation. Improvisation and compositionally based classes and approaches, I think, is something that's coming to the forefront from even just 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It's not that those things didn't exist before that.
Yeah.
But I think that seems to be a trend right now, definitely, is leaving more space for the artist to guide the direction of the class also. And yet I also see in transformation, at least in terms of the workshops that are filling up first, this one surprised me this year, but it's also... all of a sudden, this generation seems to be looking for more technically challenging approaches.
Yeah.
So then does that then guide the approach in teaching? I'm not sure. It shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't think that it should, because I think as teachers, it's not that we can't adapt as teachers, but I don't think that we give our teachers enough credit either with the experience that they're bringing to the table. They've already been there and they've already done that as an interprete, as an artist. What else? I think I see a general change both in ballet and contemporary in terms of the respect that the teachers are having towards the artists. That would be in general. Yeah. And maybe that goes back to one of the things in the beginning of our conversation of something that's important to me also.
Yeah. It's nice that you see it reflected back. Like,
perhaps, yeah.
Are there things that you dream of doing? Or are there plans in the works or where you want to go with?
Are there... Yeah, I guess there's always... I'm not a person who is ever just content with... status quo, no matter what it is, I would like to do more. But at the moment, I think this year I've been trying to focus more on quality versus quantity.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the most important. I think my dream was always to be able to have like 3 classes going on at the same time in totally different styles, and that so that these dancers are not just crossing paths every once in a while in one class, but also in a hallway, and then that might intrigue catch their interest or their intrigue to try something different, or at least to open their minds to appreciating something different. That would probably be the dream in that sense. But I think mainly the dream is just to find a support system that fits, that can be effective in supporting what this generation of dancers needs, and choreographers, to have a fulfilling career and a successful career.
Uh-huh.
I know that it doesn't work for every single, there's how many graduates every single year, how many jobs do we actually have available for them? But if we're able to create a support system that keeps them afloat, working in maybe it's not direct coordination, but with awareness of the other support organizations that exist also.
Yeah.
Not being afraid of each other's presence, but complementing each other's presence and finding ways to fill in gaps. I guess the dream, Danse à la Carte, is not just, we don't just offer classes, and we never did. I think we started offering creation residencies 4.5 years ago.
Yeah.
On a smaller scale, because we don't have a lot of resources. But I see a need for so much support in many different areas. A lot of people, a lot of organizations are trying to find innovative ways to bridge those gaps. And I want to just be a part of complementing that as best as we can to make it easier. And even it's not just the emerging artists. I think that's something that we miss and we lose sight of very often in Montreal, is it's actually the established artists that might need the most support. That the need for support doesn't dissipate just because you've survived for 5 or 6 years as a choreographer, or even 10 years or even 15 years. You know, there's chronic underfunding for all of our project-based companies in Montreal. And I guess the dream is just finding innovative ways to be a part of the solution to those issues.
Thank you so much for your time and for the work that you do. I really appreciate getting the chance to talk to you, and best of luck with Transformation.
Thank you. I hope you'll come and join us.
I will.
So a huge thank you to Lisa Davies for taking the time to speak with me right before Transformation Danse began. It's running this week and next week, and there's still a few classes available in the morning, so you can register online if you're interested in that. And the Danse à la Carte spring season continues on till June 13th. So thank you to Lisa for doing this important work of building bridges between the different communities and creating opportunities for professional dancers to train on an ongoing basis.